when she found out the father was her son. Fools make a mock at sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction. And we all have done that before. Amen? We know that. And what about this one? The Bible said, Proverbs 28:6, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So oftentimes you hear people say, well, my heart's leading me this way. Well, you better make sure there's a leading of your heart from the Word of God, because your heart can lead you in the wrong way. And that's just three, and there's 189 more just in Proverbs alone that talks about a fool. Amen. But it's one thing to be a fool for a day, and it's another thing, quite another thing, to be a fool for life and all eternity. And I want us to look this morning, and I want to preach, as Brother Brennan's already announced, on how one can make a complete fool of themselves. It's very simple. It's right here in the Word of God. And we're going to look at it this morning. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 14, or Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, first of all, you can believe like this fool. I've often heard people say, well, I don't really believe there's any really living atheists in the world. Well, you differ with the Bible on that. The Bible says right here, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's the one place you don't want to say there is no God. A lot of people say it with their head. You might get by with that. But when you say it with your heart, you believe it with your heart, there is no God, then you become a fool. Amen. D.L. Moody was preaching one day in a large service, as usually as he always had. And as he started up into the pulpit, somebody handed him a slip of paper. And thinking that that paper was an announcement somebody wanted him to make, he went to the platform and he opened it up, and all that was wrote upon the piece of paper in large letters was the word fool. Mr. Moody, being full of God and led of God, Mr. Moody said something unusual has happened today. He said, oftentimes, I have got a letter, as every pastor has. He said, oftentimes, I have got a letter with no name signed to it. He said, but today, I got a letter with a man's name signed to it, but no letter. In other words, fool. Amen. I believe the Bible teaches us that there is plenty of people in this old world that really believe in their heart there is no God. Amen. Well, they'd have to be a fool. Don't you think so? I do, because a fool ignores the proof that God has given us. The Bible said right here in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, if you didn't have a Bible, if you didn't hear a preacher, if you never walked through the doors of a church, there's enough out there to let you know there is a God. Amen. You see, the fact of intelligent design is in itself alone enough to let you know there is a God. If you were to drive out through South Dakota, I think it is, and you were to go through there and you were to run up on a mountain there with four presidents face in that mountain, why, you'd be a fool to think the rain did that, or the wind did that, or the snow did that. You know, behind that there is a the creator, a designer, somebody that did all of that. And this morning, you see, when we look at all that there is, why we'd be a fool if we believed there was no God, and all of this just erupted, or all of this just happened. No, sir. We know by intelligent design there is a God. Look at your own body. Look where the Lord placed your ears. I will admit He got some of them a little big, but look where the Lord placed your ears. Look where the Lord put your eyes. Look where the Lord, how He made you. There is an intelligent designer, and that designer is God. Amen. You see, if you believe like a fool, you ignore the proof that God has put in the world that there is a God. Why, even native people running through the jungles of Africa that have never seen a Bible or a missionary and have never heard preaching, they have never heard about God or Jesus or the Holy Ghost. But they go in there and they've got something there they have set up to worship because they worship they know not what, but they do know there's a God out there that needs to be worshiped. Amen. And so if you believe like this fool, you're on the way to making a complete fool of yourself. Not only that, but a fool discounts all that the prophets have said. Jesus said to His own disciples, Luke 24, Jesus said, "Oh, you slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said." You see, some people, I know people, they say, "Well, I believe parts of the Bible. I believe this part. I believe that part." Well, you'll make a complete fool out of yourself if you don't believe all of the Word of God. The first funeral I ever preached was a man that was related in our family, and I was asked to go see him, and I went in, began to talk to him, and he didn't much want to talk. And finally he said, "I believe all of the Old Testament. I believe Genesis to Malachi. I believe all the words of the Old Testament. But," he said, "I do not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I do not believe in the New Testament." I tried to talk to him, and he said, "You're not going to make a Baptist out of me." I said, "Sir, I'm not trying to make a Baptist out of you. I just want you to get saved and get right with God." Finally, he didn't let me pray. He asked me to leave the room. A few days later, I did his funeral, and his wife called me that morning and asked me to do it. And she said, "I've only got one request." I said, "And what would that be?" And she said, "Please make it very short." And I believed a sigh of relief, because what can you say about a man that don't believe in Jesus Christ? I don't believe any of the New Testament. What can you say about a man like that? Except what the Bible said here. It's a fool. Amen. That's what the Bible said. And then fools are always filled with pride. You know, they're too smart to believe in God. The Bible said in Proverbs 14:3, "The mouth of the fool is a rod of pride." Fools, you know, we got all these educated fools now. I'm not saying everybody with an education's a fool. I'm not saying that everybody that's got a degree is a fool. I know some great Christians and great Bible teachers and great Bible preachers. I know some men that have got PhDs and so many degrees behind their name, and they believe the same thing that you and I believe this morning about the Word of God. No, I'm not saying that, but a lot of times people get educated, and they educate them out of their religion, out of their belief. I'm telling you, young people, don't let nobody talk you out of your Jesus. Don't let nobody talk you out of your Bible. Don't let nobody talk you out of your church. Amen. I want you to know, listen, they'll all be around when them professors is all gone, amen. I'm telling you, listen, the Bible said that they speak pride, they're proud. I prayed years ago as a young preacher. I don't know why. I guess the Lord led me. I don't remember any other prayer I prayed, but I remember praying. I hadn't been preaching a month, and I remember praying one day, and I said, Lord, I want to grow in the Bible. I want to grow in the things of God, but Lord, don't let me grow out of it. I've seen some people that growed out of it. Amen. They got above their raising. They got above old-time preaching. They got above old-time praising and old-time praying. I don't want to get above it, amen. I don't want to get above my raising. I was raised to believe the Bible was the Word of God. I was raised to believe that you had to be saved to go to heaven. I thank God this morning. I thank God for my raising this morning. I thank God for the truth this morning. I had old friend Bill Ledbetter, and old Bill's a preaching one day. Bill had about a third grade education. Some of y'all heard Bill. And Bill's from the mountains of Tennessee. And Bill said, preaching is always putting himself down. And he said, I don't have much education. I didn't graduate high school. But he said, thank God I had enough sense to stay out of the fire, he said. And praise God this morning. Amen. I like that. And so if you want to make a complete fool of yourself, just believe like this fool believes, and go out of this world saying there is no God. Somebody said there's not any people that's really atheist living. Well, I don't know about that, but I promise you there ain't none dead. Amen. Look in Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse 16. And the Bible said, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool. If you want to make a complete fool out of yourself, believe like that fool in Psalm 14:1. But if you want to make a complete fool out of yourself, live like that man, that farmer. Live like that farmer in Luke 12. You say, how did he live? Well, if a person believes like a fool, they'll probably live like one. If you don't believe there is no God, I don't look for you to be attending church much. And if you don't believe there is no God, I don't look for you to live right. And if you don't believe there is no God, I don't look for you to do much praying. Amen. You say, why? Because usually how a fellow believes, it has something to do with how he lives. You say, if you believe that Jesus is coming, you ain't just live any old way. 1 John 3:3 said, every man has this hope within himself, purifies himself even as he is pure. Talk about the hope of Jesus coming. If you believe right, you'll at least try to live right. Nobody bats a thousand. But thank God that if you got a fear of God in your heart, it'll keep you from doing a lot of things that you might do if you didn't really fear God, and certainly if you didn't believe in God. Don't you think so? I do. Listen, this man lived like a fool. You say, how did he live like a fool? Well, he lived a fool concerning his fruits. He said, I have nowhere to bestow my fruits. His first problem was he thought it belonged to him. He thought it was all his. You and I don't have anything that God hadn't given us. Amen. The Lord's given us our family, our husbands, our wives, our homes. God has given us all good things that we have. They all come from God. They all belong to Him. Amen. I remember being at Camp Glory, and a fella got up, and I love him, but he's always a little prideful, and he got up and he was talking about that he had this and he had that, and he went on 30 minutes telling about all he had. And of course, Brother Sheets, you know him. And Brother Sheets got up and he went to the pulpit and he said, "The first mistake you made, son," he said, "you said mine." He said, "You don't have nothing. It all belongs to God." Amen. And we need to remember that everything we have, that it all belongs to God. Amen. I told you about running into old boy the other day. Me and Briley was out. And I love this old boy's soul. I see him out. I try to be kind to him. I try to be nice to him. We was sitting there, and Briley had went in and take some tracks in. And I was sitting there, and this old boy knocked on the window. And I rolled the window down, and we began to talk. And I'd met him years ago because his grandmother died. And he sets up the cemetery. Back then, he'd sit up there every day after she died. And I went up there, and I'd see him sitting there. And one day on a Sunday evening, I stopped and I rolled down the window and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "My granny's in there." He said, "My granny's buried there." And I said, "Well," we talked a little while, and I said, Was your granny a Christian?" He said, "Oh yeah, she was a good lady." I said, "Well," I said, "son, if your granny was saved and a Christian," I said, "she's not in there." I said, "She's up there with the Lord." And I invited him to church. I think he came one time. But the other day, he knocked on the window and I rolled it down. And we talked a little while. And he said, "God took my granny." He said, "It wasn't right for God to take my granny." He said, "It wasn't right, was it? Was it, preacher? It wasn't right." I said, "Let me ask you this." I said, "Would it be wrong for somebody to take something that's his?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Your granny belonged to the Lord. He made us all souls are mine, saith the Lord." I said, "He knows what's best." Amen. But God, listen, God has given us all things to enjoy. Amen. But what we have, the Lord has lent us. I always like that old song, "The Things That I Love." They're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Amen. Folks, we need to remember that. And then when God takes them away, we won't get so upset and been out of shape and tore up. If we remember that they all belong to God. Everything belongs to God this morning. He lived like a fool concerning his fruits. He said, "There's mine, they wouldn't his." Amen. He lived like a fool concerning his format. You say, "What do you mean?" His way of thinking, the way things were. Did you notice what he said? He said that he began to speak, and he said, "I will say to my soul." Here was a man that had to design the format wrong. He thought his body was his soul. He must have been a Jehovah's Witness. He thought his body was his soul. He said, "Soul," "thou hast much goods laid up for many days." Listen, if you want to be a complete fool, live your life like this farmer. Live like you have no living soul. It's just your body. And when it dies, it's all over and you're just annihilated and that's the end of it. No, sir. This Bible says that you're a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit. Amen. And the Bible says, "Fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Amen. I was reading some of their literature preparation of this. And it said, we know the soul's the body because it hears and sees and it dies. Said, we know the soul's the body. They've been reading too much under the sun. That's their problem. They've been reading too much Ecclesiastes. The Bible said God made man and breathed unto him a breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Bible says that when you die, your soul will be in departing. It'll be going somewhere. Amen. This man was a fool concerning, he thought the most important thing was his body. It's not. The most important thing is what your body houses. Your soul. Your body is not going to live forever. I told him Wednesday night teaching through Ecclesiastes. I said, we're cutting some trees down out at my house. And I said, I noticed them rings around them trees. That tells their age. And I said, I noticed these lines on our face. That tells our age. And the ladies try to cover it up. You know, cover girl. And one old man said, one old man said that he uncovered the cover girl off his wife and found an old woman. I'm telling you, the body ages. But the Bible said the outward man perishes day by day, but the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Your outward man may be perishing, but your inward man's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And one of these days it's going to get so strong, it's going to break out of there. Amen. Leave that old outward man behind. You live like a fool concerning his fruits and his format. And he certainly lived like a fool concerning his future. The Bible said, he said, I have much goods laid up for many years. He's talking about years, and he don't even have hours. He don't have a day. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, because thou knowest not what a day can bring forth. We really don't, do we? No, we live by faith every morning, walk step by step, realizing there's a step between us and death. We realize our life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle. We realize our life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. It's gone. It's gone. Well, I sat back there this morning in Sunday school. Brother Sammy was a-teaching, and I was looking at them three ladies sitting there, Miss Leola, Miss Bola, Sister Betty, and my mind got thinking about just a few years ago, there were three other ladies sitting there. One of them, Betty Kingery, or not Betty Kingery, but Betty Ferguson, and another lady sitting there, and I could point that all over the building. You see, I've preached long enough now, I got a congregation here and one up there. And I don't know which one I'll be with next Sunday. But either one will be some of my choice places to be, amen. But this man, he lived like a fool concerning his future. He said he's making plans to live. He's making plans to lay up. But he ain't making no plans for leaving out. You better. First thing you want to do if you're a wise person is you want to fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. And then you want to get things fixed up to die. And then you can really live. You know, you can really enjoy living and enjoy your life. You won't be carrying around that old fear and that old burden all the time. Amen. Let me give you another one this morning. Not only, I'm talking about how to make a complete fool of yourself. Believe like the fool in Psalms 14. Live like the farmer in Luke 12. But then die like the first captain in 2 Samuel 2:8. In 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible said, "But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host." He's the first captain. He used to be David's captain. And you go to 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 33, and David's there, and David the king is lamenting. He's crying. He's weeping over Abner. And he says, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." In other words, he's saying, Abner, he said, "You died like a fool." If you want to make a complete fool of yourself, believe like a fool, live like a fool, and die like a fool. You see, Abner, he used to be on David's side. And then all that happened between Saul and David, and Abner changed sides. And when you read, and you can read all this in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 27, they were all there by a pool of water. And Abner and his men were on one side, and Joab and his men were on the other side. And David and Abner started it. Do you know a lot of times people start the thing that'll bring them to their own death? That's why you better be careful about what you start. And Abner said, "Let's have a little sport here. Let's have a little fun here." And the Bible said that they got out there and they began to wrestle and fight one another. And when it was all over, Joab's crowd had prevailed. And I think there's like 320 men on both sides that died in the whole thing. But Joab had a brother named Aziel. And when Abner took off running, Aziel took out after him. And Aziel, he was swift as a roll, the Bible said. He could run. But Abner was way ahead. Abner, he could have just kept on running and he could have got away from him. But the Bible said he stopped and he said, "Aziel, now you just need to go on and you don't need to do this." And Aziel kept on running after Abner. And he got close. Abner just took his spear and he just pushed it behind him and it went inside under the filth rib. If you want to kill somebody, get them on the filth rib. And it went on the filth rib and Aziel died. Well, Aziel was Joab's brother. And so after he died, he sworn that he was going to kill Abner. And David said, David loved Abner. Even if he did go on the other side, David loved him. And David finally he got back over on David's side. But Joab never did let go of that bitterness. Joab was sworn that he would see the death of Abner. Well, if you read the whole story, David sent Abner away, but he turned around, but he come back to the city of Hebron. And he come back and Joab, he said, "Abner," he said, "let's talk a little bit about this." And so Abner, you read there in that verse and it said he was outside the gate. Abner, Joab was just outside the gate and he said, "Abner," said, "let's talk about this." And Abner come just outside the gate. So there you got these two men. And they're standing outside the gate. And Joab kills Abner. And David goes down to the graveyard. And David is a weeping almost as much as he did when Absalom got killed. And David said, "Abner, Abner, dieth thou like a fool." In other words, he's saying, "Abner, you didn't have to die this way." You see, Abner died like a fool. Like a lot of people do. You say, how did he die like a fool? Well, in verse 33, as I've already said twice, at the grave, David lamented. Abner. In other words, the king loved Abner. Abner didn't have to die that way. He had some connections there. He could have pleaded to David, and David would have took care of him. David would have sent him away. David would have done something for him because David didn't want to see him perish. Did you know that you got a captain? His name's Jesus. He's the captain of our salvation. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And you can have a connection with the king this morning, and there ain't no reason you dying like a fool. You can have a connection with the king this morning. Not only did he die like a fool because of the privilege he had, he knew the king. You have a privilege this morning. You have a privilege this morning. You can come down and talk to the King of Glory. You have a privilege this morning. You can get saved today by the grace of God. You have a privilege this morning. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish. You have a privilege this morning. But Abner died like a fool. He didn't use his privilege. Abner died like a fool because of his position. Verse 27 of chapter 3 said, Joab took him outside the gate. Do you know what the gate was? That's Hebron. You know what Hebron is? That's one of them cities of refuge. And if a man slayed somebody as a manslayer, he could flee inside that city of refuge, and the enemy couldn't bother him. Joab couldn't come in there. He was safe in that city as long as the high priest lived. Now that's a picture of Jesus. Kenny Callaway wrote that great song on the city of refuge. Amen. Listen today, you're here lost without God, but you're right outside the gate. And I'll tell you, if you'd get in that city of refuge this morning and get in Jesus this morning, I'm telling you, the devil, he can follow you up to the gate, but he can't come in. You're safe, and you don't have to worry about your high priest dying, because we have a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he ever lives to make intercessions for us. Praise God. He died like a fool because of his privilege. He died like a fool because of his position. He died like a fool because of his peril. Verse 27 says, Joab took him aside to speak with him quietly. That's where he killed him. You say, why did he die like a fool? You don't talk to the enemy. You don't get along with the enemy. You don't get along with somebody that you know wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You don't go outside of the gate to talk to the enemy. And anytime somebody's talking quietly, it's usually because they don't want everybody else to hear what they're saying. And he probably said something like this: you killed my brother Aziel, and I'm killing you. And Joab fell. Abner fell outside the gate. Now a lot of people die like a fool. You say why? They ignore their privilege. They don't realize their position. You're not far from the kingdom of God this morning. And Jesus be not far from any one of you. If you begin to feel after Him, you'll find Him. He's near. He's close. But if you come to this church Sunday after Sunday and you don't realize the privilege God's gave you, and you die lost, you die like a fool. If you come Sunday after Sunday knowing that you're lost and you're not right with God, and realize the position that you have this morning. You're right here. Today is a day of salvation. Amen. You say, I couldn't get saved today. No, you couldn't as long as you believe that. But if you believe what the Bible said today's the day of salvation. How could you get saved tomorrow? You may not even have one. You sure can't get saved yesterday. They're all gone. All you got this morning's today, and we can move that on down to now's the accepted time. This hour. Amen. Remember that song? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. How precious did that grace become the hour I first believed. Amen. He died like a fool because he talked to the enemy. Says the singers, or song leaders coming, piano players coming. There's somebody right here on this shoulder, Brother Sheets used to say, and somebody right here on this one. One of them's your enemy. And he's saying, don't get saved today. He's saying, don't go down there and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and believe that He did and stand up by faith and say, I believe God saved me today. He's saying, don't do that. I mean, it's okay to do that, but you just don't want to do it today. Good crowd here today. It's okay to do that, but you got some friends here today. Be better to do it when they're not here. Don't do it today. Don't do it today because you're young. You got some things you want to do. You got some plans. You want to do this. You want to do that. Wait till you get all that done. And then you can do it. But on the other side, there's that still, sweet, gentle, loving, caring voice of Jesus. It says, why not today? That still voice of Jesus. Why not come today just as you are? Without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, to come. Why not? Well, are you going to make a complete fool of yourself? Lord knows I have many times. But there's a day not too far out in the distant future when I'm not going to be a fool. Because at 10 years old, I believed there was a God. Because as a senior in high school, after a football game one night, I saw one of my buddies killed going to Glasgow, and I went to the funeral home for the first time. I looked into the casket of one of my classmates. And I realized that could happen to anybody. I realized I might not have another tomorrow. Don't die like a fool. But I'm going to stand before the Lord one day with the rest of you, maybe in different groups. And the Lord's going to say, you trusted me, you accepted me. You made the smartest decision you ever made. And ever how many years I let you live, you chose life. I set before you death and life, and you chose life. Wise decision. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. But to others, even here this morning, the Lord's going to say, would you say your name was? I'm sorry, we just don't have no name like that. We just don't have no name like that. I know it's in there. I went to church. I know it's in there. I heard a lot of sermons. Please search the book again. Please search the book again. Say, I'm sorry. It's just not there. Bind him hand and foot and cast him out into outer darkness. Thou fool! Father, thank you this morning.